today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Let it penetrate. Don't just dismiss the Word of God. Never just dismiss the Word of God. Test the Scriptures. When God's Word, a word, falls onto your heart, test it. I mean, apply it. Whether you feel like it, understand it or not, take it and apply it. Adjust, repent, turn, and watch what happens. God will bring understanding to your soul, to your heart.
Deeper and deeper.
Don't deny it. There have been times when you're listening to a message and think to yourself, I wish so-and-so could hear this. They really need it. No, God knows you. He put you where you are for a reason. He understands what you need. So if you're moved by something you've heard, consider that it's probably for you. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 1, as we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, How's Your Spiritual Hearing?
All right, we're in Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. We're really continuing the study that we started talking about the kingdom parables, and this being the first of the kingdom parables. So that is the theme. We're not learning what it's like in heaven, that kingdom up there. We're learning, and Jesus is going to begin showing us some things about the kingdom here on earth, the kingdom as it's being established right now here on earth. And it's very interesting as we kind of unpack them, what Jesus was telling his disciples and telling them in advance. We covered verses 1 through 17 last week, but we're going to read it again just to kind of get the running start and get the context. So we begin in verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. They immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. We went over these verses. We explained that this is the first of the kingdom parables, and that it holds keys to understanding the other kingdom parables. Mark explains that to us. We found that Jesus wants everyone to hear, and he wants everyone to understand, but it's really a matter of the heart. They fulfill the prophecy not because God wanted it to be that way, but because their hearts were resistant and God knew it would be that way. So because of their unwillingness to hear, they fulfill prophecy. God knew it all along. A parable, which Jesus speaks in, is simply a story that reveals a truth, in Jesus' case, a heavenly truth, in a way that could be understood clearly by the common person. So it wasn't like he was speaking in code so the people could not understand unless they figured out the code. He was speaking very clearly, in plain language, so that everyone could understand. But if you weren't willing to take the story that was revealing a truth and relate it to the truth you already knew in your own heart about the way things were, about what your needs were, about life, then you would not get it. You wouldn't listen. And it was because of unwillingness of your own heart. For example, when Nathan, the prophet, spoke to King David, he shared with him, because David had committed sin with Bathsheba and really messed up. And Nathan came to him and said, told a story about a man who basically committed sin and messed up. And David said, that guy should die. That guy should pay back for his crime. And Nathan said, King, you're that guy. And because David took the story and the reality, he said, wow, you got me. That's true. So Jesus speaks in parables, parables that witness to truth. But if a heart's not willing to receive it, it won't. They'll just dismiss all the information. And so Jesus says in verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the idea is this, let him make sure he hears and takes heed. The information that he's beginning to share is about the birth of the kingdom. The sower, he goes out to sow. And the seed, this truth, goes in, it lands on, as we'll see here, certain soils, which represent the heart. And when it hits those soils, some receive it, and they grow up, and they produce fruit that continue to produce fruit and seed for the kingdom of God. But then there are other soils. And we're going to talk about all those soils today as we get into our text. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, we read that the disciples needed a little help understanding this parable, and that's why Jesus explains it to them. And so in verse 18, we pick up. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. The wayside was the path between rows where you would sow seed. So you would sow your seed in tilled soil, loosened up ground, so that the seed could penetrate and have an easier time getting into the soil. But as you're trotting on this ground between the rows, it would get packed, hardened. That's the wayside. It was hardened ground from constant treading. Some of the seeds would fall there, and the seeds that fell there would not penetrate. And birds, well, they know how to take advantage of a good opportunity. So they would wait. When the person's going ahead of them, they kind of land on the ground and eat it up behind them. The bird, he says, represents the evil one. That's his desire. Is if you're not going to let something in, he wants you to forget all about it. He wants to take it. And so the soils, which represent the heart, this soil represents the calloused and the hardened heart. The heart that will not let the word of God penetrate. This is the person who hears truth, but immediately this person begins to rationalize so that they don't take it in. They don't receive it. They rationalize, they make excuses for why this can't be true, or this can't be true for them, or maybe this is true, but here's my reason for not changing anything and letting this take a hold of my heart and my life. It's a hardened heart, it's a calloused heart. They listen, it's never for them. And since it never penetrates, it's scooped up very easily by the enemy so that they forget about it. Now listen. This hardened heart. The wayside is a ground that's been trodden on, and that's why it's hardened. And there are hard hearts that just, I want this, I want to believe this, and I'm not going to listen to anything else. But not every hardened heart is hardened by your own selfishness. Some have been hardened because of the sin of others. And so their heart gets hardened because they've been hurt. Something happens to them, and so they build up their own walls. They build up their own defenses. And so even when the Word of God comes out as truth, and here's what you need to do, and it hits up against that wall they've built up, hey, I love God, I love the truth, but I will not receive that. I will not let that take up root in my heart. There's a wall that's been built up. There's a hardened heart. Often by treading, sometimes the results of circumstances, we build up these walls. Our hearts become hardened in some ways. For example, a woman who's been abused or who's had a poor relationship may have a difficult time in any relationships in the future with a man. Because they've been hurt, they built up walls, they built up something in their lives, and so no matter what the Word of God says, they will not adjust. They will not let the Word of God allow them to let down their guard and trust Him. A person can get mad at God because maybe God allowed somebody that they knew to die, a close relative, maybe even a child. They go, I don't understand this. This isn't fair. And all of a sudden they're questioning a characteristic of God, His love. And so they go to church and they hear that day a message on love, the love of God. And their heart has been hardened. I'm not listening. I'm not receiving because I don't see a God of love. I look around and all I see is disaster and chaos. How can a God of love exist? And so they're very hardened. I know that Oprah Winfrey was searching. And still searching. But she was searching and she was reading the Bible and she read that God, I, your God, am a jealous God. I don't know what happened in her life early on, but this term jealous got to her. And she said, I cannot believe in a jealous God. She turned away from even believing in the Bible as having all truth. And began to say, you know, I just do not believe in a jealous God. Now, you have to understand context. You have to understand what God is saying in the situation. But she didn't want to slow down. She didn't want to let it penetrate. It hit a brick wall and she turned her back on all truth and now searching for something else to replace with all truth. That's a hardened heart. But listen, whether you've got a rebellious heart that just says, I don't want to believe that. Or you've gone through some pains in life. You've experienced difficult situations and your heart is hardened because of the sin of others so that you won't receive God's truth. It doesn't matter because we have an enemy who just wants you to have a hard heart. That's it. He wants to steal, to kill, destroy. He does not want you in line with God's will. He doesn't want you doing things God's way. Ultimately, He doesn't want you saved, and He wants to drag you to hell. That's His desire. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Our enemy is not compassionate. He doesn't watch you justify yourself and go, it's because of this pain that I just can't receive this truth and go, oh, I'm going to take it easy on you. You're down enough. That's exactly where I want you. I'm going to focus on these guys. I'm going to focus on Israel. No, we have an enemy who's looking for the weak to pick them off purposefully. And when he sees this in you, he wants hardness. He wants resistance. He wants rebellion. He wants everything he can get from you. And too often we're quick to let our hard hearts and our stubbornness win. Instead of when the Word of God meets our hearts, letting it penetrate and letting it produce fruit. If you take God's Word and you let it penetrate, you hide it in your heart, then listen, you may not understand everything right now, but over time, you'll begin to realize the depth of that truth. How good that counsel is. In fact, how wise and perfect that counsel is. But you got to let it in your hard heart. At least an area of your heart that may have been hardened. In Luke chapter 2, after the shepherds had seen that vision, the angels came down and announced the birth of the Savior. They went straightway, it said, and they went and they saw Mary and they saw the baby, and they just began to share that they seen the angels and announced the announcement of the birth. And Mary was just in awe of all of this. And it says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She didn't know what to make of it all. I mean, she knew this was amazing. She knew this was the promised one, but she didn't know all this stuff that was going to unfold. And this was just amazing. She didn't have complete understanding, but she kept things and she allowed them to be there so that as life unfolded, she could unpack it and go, now I understand. Now that makes sense. But the hardened heart, what happens is you don't let it penetrate. And because it doesn't penetrate, the enemy comes by and takes up that truth so that you forget it completely. And when you go through the difficult times and you go through the trials in life where you need that truth to start making sense of things, you don't have it. You're not thinking about the Word of God. You're not thinking about what has been supposed to have been planted in your heart to make sense of life. And you're left to try to figure things out on your own, and your heart tends to get harder and harder. Don't have a hard heart to anything. If God's Word comes and it lands on the soil of your heart today, receive it. You may not understand it. You may not understand exactly how to apply it. Just take it and ponder these things. Consider it. Your life may unfold in an hour or in a week. God may show you exactly how it works and why it is true and perfect. Let it penetrate. Don't just dismiss the Word of God. Never just dismiss the Word of God. Test the Scriptures. When God's Word, a word falls onto your heart, test it. I mean, apply it. Whether you feel like it, understand it or not, take it and apply it. Adjust, repent, turn, and watch what happens. God will bring understanding to your soul, to your heart. Things will begin to change and be fixed that you always wondered for years how to fix these things. And it's because of a hardened heart that we continue to stay in the same patterns in life. Let God's Word have its way and work itself into your heart. You'll find that God is real. You'll find that He's trustworthy. You will find that He loves you and that He'll take care of you. You'll be okay. He's able to restore your life. You may have been hardened because things were taken from you and you think you lost so much, but He can give and restore so much more than you've ever lost if you'll trust Him. Don't have a hard heart. He'll set you on right paths and He'll take care of you. So that's the hardened heart. But verse 20, he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the world, immediately he stumbles. In Israel, Israel isn't mostly rock. It like is rock, you know, and it's amazing that they have such great soil and that things grow. It's a land of abundance because it's all rock. And what they have to do, and very often you'll see if you're driving around in Israel, you'll see even on the hills and the mountainsides that they'll dig in. But what they have to do is they also have to dig out. They have to excavate, dig out the rocks because it may seem like there's soil on the surface, but there's rock, a bed of rock underneath, and it won't allow your plants to grow or your vegetation to grow. And so they have to mill out and take out the stone and kind of quarry it out, so to speak, so that they have a good area where they can grow the produce and the vegetation. And it is a land of plenty. Everything grows there, it seems. They're very, very blessed. But if you don't do the work to remove the stony ground, you won't have a lot of fruit. nothing will be able to grow. Or it'll grow, but it won't produce anything and it'll die away. This is a picture of the shallow heart. The sun, the nutrients on a plant that's kind of peering through the surface of the soil are actually beneficial and can cause it to sprout up fairly quickly. But if there's no root system established, that same sun that can help it to grow and the nutrients that help it to grow can also, the sun especially, can kill it, dry it up, because there's no roots, there's no way to search for the water. And so this is a picture of the shallow heart. And it's a very good picture of the shallow heart. Because just like the sun can beat on the very small shoot that's there, the sun, in this parable, the sun represents persecution and difficulties, by the way. Not the Word of God or anything. It represents persecution, difficulties, trials. Well, those same trials and persecutions that beat down on some lives are the same thing that drives them to the church, right? Man, it's difficult. Oh man, something happened. Oh, I lost someone. Whatever the case may be, it drives you to the need for change. It drives you maybe to the church. We need change. And that person, this emotional person, they come, they sit, and they listen to God's Word. And it's like, oh, God's Word is speaking to me. He knows. He knows what's going on. He understands me. And it's because God knows about you. Going to any service where the Word of God is being taught, and you'll realize that that's true if we're listening. And so you hear, and that person gets excited, and they seem to shoot up quickly, just jumping about, leaping for joy, come forward and crying at the altar call. But over time, something happens. See, the trials and the running from trials that brought them to the Lord, or to the church at least, when trials and persecution happen as a result of following the Lord, or even trials while you're following the Lord, that seems to push them away, because really they weren't drawn to the Lord so that they rooted themselves into Him. They were just running from trials. And this was this is the answer. But then when the answer seems to have trials of its own, well, I gotta fade away. And they have no root system. The root system, the water that it needs to search for. Water's been likened to the Word of God being the water. Whenever we have trials as a Christian, you know what happens? They're actually good for you. They cause you to dig your roots in deeper. They either cause you to go away because there was no root system at all. But if you do have a root system and you feel like, man, I'm in a dry and weary land, it's just so difficult, it causes your root system to go deeper so that you're actually stronger as a result of the difficulties and the trials. The water being the Word of God, you have a difficult time, it forces you into the Word of God, right? We're the answers. We're the answers, Lord. I need something. I need you. And Scripture begins to transform your heart and begins to make sense. The Word of God begins to convict, to challenge you and change you. These are the ones who were thrown into the stony ground. There was no root. So when the trials came, this group went away. They left. They dropped everything and were gone. Here's the point of this portion of the parable. Trials and persecution, they're going to come. For saved and unsaved alike. The rains come on both. But they prove the genuineness of your faith. We need them. Peter puts it very well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper, and deeper, I want to know you more.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew, here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we'd like to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard is exactly what you're looking for in a church. Then please join us. You can find our service times for Sunday morning worship and our midweek Bible studies at our website. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. Again, for more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll be able to listen to or download any of our messages, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
Somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.